see you here this morning. Big shout out to those online watching us. God bless you out there as well. But I'm glad that you were able to, on this vacation weekend, be here with us in person as well. And so I am thrilled about what God wants to do this morning. I was away last week. I was up at Lake George. I hadn't been away for the better part of a year on any sort of vacation. Just been here, you know, was planning to be away, you know, at the first of the year. COVID all happens, and so that didn't happen. And we actually tried to go to Vermont, but Vermont didn't want us because Dutchess County had too high a COVID count. So fine, we just went to upstate to Lake George, had a wonderful time there. And so in that time away, though, I don't vacate very well. My mind keeps worrying. See, my heart and my life is here in this body of believers. This is what God's called me to, who God has called me to. So though I'm physically away, God keeps speaking to me. And as I was away for over the weekend, just began to pray and think and look at life, you know, a couple of things came to mind. First of all, life is still difficult. How many people are having some difficult times still with the COVID thing happening and all that that's going on? And so we've got that. There's fear. There's anxiety. You know, there's rays of hope. You know, we hear that there's potential that there might be a vaccine that may be coming in November. That may be, may not. You know, we don't know, but you know, there's uncertainty in the air. But for us as believers in Christ, we're not to be uncertain about one thing, and that's that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. He's got a plan for our lives, and he's a good God. How often? All the time. God is good all of the time. And for us as believers in him, we need to stay focused upon him. And so with that in mind, I was praying and just thinking about it, and the Lord was speaking to me on a personal level. So what happens is, as he speaks to me, now I speak to you. That's how it all works. I've heard that the best sermon that preachers preach are the ones that were meant for them. And so you're getting the overflow. But the Lord was just speaking to me about returning back to my roots. And he was giving that some thought, and the Lord showed me three specific things that I'd like to talk to you about that God spoke to me about. But I really believe that it is relevant for the body of Christ today. You know, we live in uncertain times, as I've already said. But we can be certain of one thing. God has a plan, all right? And we need to just settle that, and that we can be a part of the plan, and not only a part of the plan, but listen to me, a part of the solution of what God has for today here on this earth. You know, God knew that COVID would happen. God knows when all events happen, and he has a plan for his church to be glorified in and through it, if we're willing to be. You know, we can be like everyone else running around, like our heads kind of, freaking out like everybody else. Or we can look up to heaven and know that God knows what he's doing and we can trust him. He is faithful. And that's my hope for you today, that you will see the goodness of God in what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. If it was easy for us to see those things and partake of those things and enjoy those things, we'd all be doing it as believers. But the reality of it is there's work involved. There's a part that you and I play in it. And so I want to begin by showing you a couple of pictures. I took these pictures on Friday. The first picture I'm hoping they're going to put up shows our annex building. In fact, if you happen to look out the window and look up the hill, there's our annex building. It was built in 2001. It's a gymnasium. It has a commercial kitchen in it and meeting places for the youth group. It does a lot of different things. It's a multi-purpose building. But as part of building it in 2001, in the town of Hyde Park, they have what they call this beautification thing. And what you have to do, not only do you build the building, but to get your certificate of occupancy, the outside has to look all nice and pretty. And as part of it, we had to plant 5 trees. In fact, they'll put up another picture, and you'll see them circled. Those 5 trees were part of that beautification project. They were all planted, listen to me, at the same time in 2001. So those trees are about 19 years old. You notice the 2 on the left, and again, it was from quite a ways away, but I can actually just get my arms around the trunk of them, both of those trees on the left. The 3 on the right, they're about this big around, and then they're like, it's amazing. Now here, these trees were all maples. It's not like they were different kinds. They're all maple trees. They were all planted at the same time. They all get the same sunlight. You know, there's no shade on them or anything. And so as you begin to look at those trees, you got to ask the question, what was different about them? And so that's what the Lord showed me and reminded me. You see, I knew what was on that hill before the building was put on the hill. And some of you might remember as well. On the hill was a giant Olympic-sized swimming pool. And it actually is located right underneath the big part of the gymnasium part of the church. Now, don't worry, you're not going to fall in it. Don't have this fear when you're walking out, oh, the ground's going to swallow me up, I'm going to fall into the pool. Listen, there's no basement in that building. It's all been filled in, okay? So it's solid ground underneath there. No worries whatsoever. But that pool goes down probably 10, 15 feet with an apron of concrete. And what happens is then, it blocks off that part of the hill for those three trees. Now, what do I mean by that? What do trees need more than anything other than sunlight? Water. Got to have water. And so underground, in the ground, everywhere, are these underground springs. They're actually underground rivers. They call them rivers, but they're little places where water can run. And what happens is the roots of the trees go and look for those things. Now, I know for a fact, if every spring, if you look at our hill, when you go up the hill, we can't pave that because what happens is every year the water breaks through the pavement and it all busts it up because there's a spring that comes through. And actually that spring feeds those two trees on the left. But the spring doesn't go all the way across because it's running down to the pond here. So those three trees are blocked by that concrete wall. And so they got the same concrete. They've got the same sunlight. They've got the same ground. All of that, but what is different? It's that spring of water. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about is establishing our roots in a spring that will never run dry. And so with that in mind, turn to the book of Jeremiah. The portion of scripture we're going to read is actually mentioned in several other places. It's mentioned in Psalms 1. Isaiah talks about it. It's in several places in the Bible, but the Lord directed me to Jeremiah 17. Beginning at verse 7. And here's what it says. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, and its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. And so is this scripture talking about a physical tree? No, it's not. It's talking, it's an allegory. It's showing a physical example of a spiritual truth. We're that tree. And so let's look at this for a minute. Look at verse 7. It says this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Well, that word man can actually be translated warrior. Now, here's the thing, and this is what I've been saying from the beginning, is that the reason why not everyone experiences all the good that God has is that you've got to be a warrior for it. You've got to fight for it. Now, you might say, but hold it, Jesus won the battle on the cross of Calvary. Yes, he did. But we still have to walk in the victory that Jesus purchased. And still, there's effort on our part. You can't kind of sit in the easy chair of life and say, well, God, because I'm your child, you're going to give me everything. I don't know about you, but if you were my kid in my household, that's not the way it worked in my house. You know what I'm saying? There was a part that you played to be a benefactor of all the blessings. If you hear what I'm saying. So here's the thing. You're a warrior. Bring that back up. And it goes on, and it says that you have to be a warrior who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. You see, so often we want what God has now and we'll believe. But God says, hope and you will receive. And so often, that's the problem for us. We want it now, and then we're like, oh, God, you're a good God because I've got this now. Isn't he a good God whether you have it or not? You see, isn't his nature and character that he's a good God? And so what we have to do is come to a place of realizing that God has good things for us, but it's found somewhere. And we just talked about it. Look at verse 8. For he should be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. Then it goes on and talks about the heat and the drought. All of that won't be affected. So here's the cool part. It says he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. That word planted, you know what it means? Transplanted. You see, none of us were born beside the river of God. None of us were. None of us were born with the Holy Spirit in us. None of us were. We were born tapped in with our roots into whatever we tried to satisfy ourselves with. And listen, the list goes on and on of how that is. For example, for some of us, it was in interpersonal relationships. That was our source of strength, by being connected maybe to a spouse or a close friend. That's how we kept our lives going. For others, it might be a job or a title at a job. You hear where I'm going with this? For others, it might be your recreation. That was your source of strength in the things that you did. Or the money that's in your bank. All of those are possibilities that your roots, in a sense, are entangled in. But how many people know that those things don't lead to fulfillment or satisfaction? They don't. Some of those things are necessary, and there's nothing wrong with those things. So don't look at your wife or your husband and say, I don't need you anymore. That's not what I'm suggesting here. Or call your boss at work and say, I don't need you anymore. But the thing is, they're not your satisfaction. They're not your fulfillment. But our fulfillment as believers in Christ is the river. Well, what am I talking about? I'm not talking about, you know, the river that's underground, a natural river. Everywhere in the Bible, when it talks about the river, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about God Himself. Now, where is God Himself? Can anyone tell me right now? Where is He? He's in heaven, and He's also in your heart, isn't He? And so you have an inner river. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 7 spoke specifically about it. I believe it about verse 35. And He said this, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. For out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And if there's any confusion on that, the next verse says, this is talking about the Holy Spirit that is to come. It literally says that in the Gospel of John. And so it makes it very clear that this river, this stream that's being talked about is the presence of God Himself. And in fact, you can translate the word river to stream, or actually in its basic form, to flow. In other words, we're called to flow in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is different from how we live and how we think normally. You know, when you wake up in the morning, your first thought isn't, hey, I'm going to flow in the Holy Spirit. Probably not. You're thinking, okay, I got to have breakfast, I got to find my clothes, I got to iron my shirt, I got to, you get what I'm saying? You're doing these mental, soulish kinds of things to plan your day. And I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with those things. But if you're not connected to the flow of the Holy Spirit, connected to what God wants to do in the midst of that, then you are not going to be rooted and grounded in Him. Because the only way you can flourish, just like those trees that I showed you outside, the only way you can be flourished, you got to be tapped into the stream. You got to be tapped into the flow of what God has for you. Now, here's where the problem is. For most of us, me included, we're a pretty strong-willed bunch, aren't we? In other words, we're like, hey, God, this is what I want to do. Flow over here. But just like those three trees, the flow's not coming to them. They have to go to it. And it's the same for you and I. God has a river that flows in a certain direction. His presence goes a certain way, and He does it His way. We've got to connect to Him. And that's difficult for many of us, me included, because I'm challenged, because I want to do it my way. How many people, and just with a little foot stomp, I want to do it my way. We're kind of like 2 or 3 year olds all grown up in big people body, but we're still little kids in a sense. Here's the thing. We can do it our own way, and God won't stop you. But you'll receive the fruit of that. You'll be like those three weak, half-dying trees. Or you can flourish because you're plugged into the river. See, and that's where your roots need to begin. You have to make a decision to connect to God. It begins there. You know, I could give you 20 other points on how to grow in God. But if you're not connected to the stream, you will not be able to grow at all. It's just the reality of it. You see, there's many people talking about soul growth. What do I mean by that? They give you steps on how to do things. And I want to say this. There's nothing wrong with that. There are times that we need to hear, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. They can be helpful to your soul, to your mind, to help you get things together. But if your heart is broken, then you can do all you want with your soul, but it won't change your heart. But if your heart is changed, it can lead to a changed soul. And so steps can work and be important, but it begins with your heart being changed. And that can only happen when you're connected to the stream. So that when drought comes, just like we read in Jeremiah, when the drought comes and the heat comes, you won't be anxious. You won't be worried. Why? Because your source is below the ground. It's not seen by this world. It's in the Holy Spirit. And again, for some of you, this might be a little weird. You're like, okay, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know Him. I sort of get that part. What's the Holy Spirit? What is that? He's the presence of God. Listen, I could literally say theologically that you have God the Father inside of you. I could say that you have Jesus the Son inside of you. And I could say you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Because we don't serve three different gods. We serve three in one. And so literally there's scripture that says all three of those in you. In fact, Jesus said, we, speaking of the Father, will come and live in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. So He's saying all three at once. You can read it in the Gospel of John around chapter 16. It's right there. And so the Holy Spirit is your own built-in counselor that wants to guide you through this life. But the question is, which direction are your roots going? Are they going towards Him and connected and intertwined into who He is? Or are they still connected to your old water sources, the polluted ones, the ones that were just part of this world that you've grown up with? You see, God wants to transplant you, wants to move you from one place to another. How many people want to let Jesus transplant them? It's going to hurt. Imagine being pulled up by the roots. Imagine. There's going to be some things that are going to break away. You might wilt a little bit. In other words, things might not, because you're uncertain, because all of a sudden you're moving to something different and new. But here's what I will tell you, that when you allow the presence of God to be an active participant in your life, you will grow flourish, God will do some amazing things. And so the first root is the river. All right, let's move on and look at the last two today. Okay, move on to Colossians chapter 2. And here we're talking about our second root that's necessary. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Then it goes on, it says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. So go back to verse 6. As we look at verse 6, it says, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. You see, that's two steps, isn't it? If you look at that, receiving Christ and walking in Him are two different things. And so often people think, hey, I've accepted Jesus, I'm good to go. No, that's the starting line. That's like the starting point of your life. You're in the race called life now at the starting point by accepting Him. Now you need to walk with Him. Now you need to walk hand in hand with Him because He's got a plan for your future. And it goes on then and says, being what? Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. That's the second root, to be established in the faith. Well, what does that mean? You see, once you connect to the river of God, once you connect to the flow of what He has for you, you've got to trust Him. That's a step two. You're like, well, hold on, I'm connected to Him in the river. Isn't everything going to be okay? Sorry, there's more to it than that. Now you got to do it. It's like getting a job, and you've been, you know, you got the letter saying you got the job, and what if you just sat at home and just kept the letter and didn't go to work? Not going to be of any benefit to you. In other words, you got to go and work at what you've been given. And so we've received Christ, and I pray that everyone watching has received Christ, and it's as simple as just inviting Him into your heart, saying, I need you, and Jesus will come in. He promises that. So He comes in, and then the next step is to begin to walk with Him. But hold it, I want to walk this way, but you want to walk that way. Well, that's the fork in the road that we see. For many of us, those forks in the road are daily, maybe hourly. At least internal forks in the road, where the Holy Spirit from His stream is speaking to you from the flow of God, and He's saying, hey, I want you to do this, and we have to make a decision. Am I going to do my old thing? Am I going to keep doing what I've been doing? Or am I going to do this new thing that might be uncomfortable for me, that might feel like, whoa, I don't know whether I can do this or not. But if you do it, you'll be blessed. But sometimes we'll take the road known for the lesser road that's unknown because we just feel more comfortable with the old road. How many times you got down that old road? Hasn't it led to the same roundabout? Isn't it time to go down a new road? And so we're faced with those forks in the road every single day. Now you understand why five trees that are 19 years old, all the same age, all the same kind, can look so different. I see that with Christians every day. I see Christians just two or three years old in the Lord, flourishing and growing and multiplying. And then I see older Christians, 20, 30 years in the Lord, and they're these shriveled up, kind of, not looking shriveled, okay, you get what I'm saying, you know, spiritually kind of shriveled up and not flourishing and growing. Why? It's because they were challenged at the fork in the road, and they decided to do it their way rather than God's way. I can't encourage you enough to be established in your faith, to trust that Jesus knows better than you. Say that with me. Jesus knows better than me, and I believe it, and I'm going to do it. You get what I'm saying? Again, you can confess it all day long, but when you get to that fork in the road, whether it be tomorrow morning on your way to work or whether you're maybe in that argument again with your spouse or that discussion again with a coworker that's going to go to the same place it's always gone, that you come to that fork in the road in the spirit and you say, Lord, what do you want to do with this? And to go God's way. And so what's our first two roots? You have to be rooted in the river, in the Holy Spirit. And then what's our second root? Rooted and established in our faith. And I want to give you the last one now. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. And what I love about Ephesians chapter 3, and I didn't even know this as the Lord had revealed these three roots to me, that he was going to summarize it in this particular scripture. It was just so cool. So in Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So look back at verse 16. It says this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through what? His Spirit in the inner man. There's the root of the river right there. So it begins there. Okay, on to the next verse, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There's the second root right there. And then the third, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend all, let me see, it's underneath there, all the saints, what is the width, length, and depth, and height. It's covered by the railing, a little hard for me to see. Let's talk for a minute about the love of God as that final root. You see, you can't love appropriately if you don't have trust in the Lord. And you can't trust in the Lord unless you're connected to him in the Holy Spirit. You just can't. But so many people try to love, and they're doing it in their own strength and fail miserably. So many people try to trust in their own strength and can't trust because they're not connected to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't judge one another. The Holy Spirit encourages each and every one of us. Sandra and I were, when we went to Lake George, went on the Mini Haha. How many people know what that is? It's a steamboat up on Lake George. And we've only been up there, I think, three times in our 30 years here in the area. And I think we've been on it once or twice before. Twice before. So we were on it. So I took a picture. I don't post much. For those of you that follow me online, I don't post much. But Sandra was sitting there. She had her little sun hat on. She had her matching mask. And I took a picture and posted it online. I said, my sweetie, or something like that. And so I got lots of comments. You know, people commented. And then there was one comment. And here's what it said. It said, take the mask off. Don't you have any faith? Don't live in fear. And I looked at that post. Now, there was a part of me. I was ready. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can be pretty sharp, you know what I'm saying? So I was ready to make my fingers do some things and have a pretty sharp comeback on that, and I just left it. But I was giving it some thought, and here's what the Lord showed me about that. He showed me that for most of us that have opinions, it's just that. We don't know the whole story. You see, when we went to get on the boat, they had people literally walking up and down the aisles telling us, you must wear your mask at all times or you cannot be on this boat. All the time. So we get on the boat, and every 10 or 15 minutes, the captain's announcing, you must wear your mask. So at one point, you could tell he was a bit exasperated. He goes, look, let me tell you why you got to wear your mask. The government was on our boat a couple days ago, and they fined us. And if we get caught again with people not wearing their masks, we're going to have to shut down everything. So wear your mask. Now, here's this guy online telling my wife that she's not living in faith but in fear. He hasn't got a clue. You hear what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question. Do we have a clue? When we make our comments and say the things that we say and do we really have a clue? Do we really have the whole picture in mind? Is that really the kind of love that God wants us to live and operate in? Is that the kind of faith that we're to live by? No, it's not. God has called you and I to be a light in this world, to love in a way that's appropriate, to not be critical. I remember back in the early days here at church, going back 25, 30 years ago, I called them the fashion police. We had people that literally would attack other people if they weren't wearing dresses long enough or enough clothes on them. You know, it just went on and on and on. It was just ridiculous, you know, even if it was just a little bit different colors. And I'm like, what the heck? I said something more than that, actually. But, you know, I want to be appropriate here in church. That's not the nature and character of God. And so what we need to do as believers, if we're living in the love of Jesus, that's literally what it means, the love of Jesus. Think about this. Jesus had 12 disciples, right? Would any of you hire any of them knowing all the things you know about them now for a job? Think about it. You had one guy that was a thief. You had two of them that were pyromaniacs. They wanted to call fire down on a village, okay? You got another one that just wanted to hack people to pieces, okay? You got Peter, all right? And you got another guy that doubted everything you told him. Like, the list just goes on and on of the issues, right? And we could spend a whole sermon talking about that. But think about this. Jesus, knowing all of that, still recruited them. And as he walked with them for 3.5 years, did he even address those things? Not really. You know what he talked about? He would do things like this. Who do you think I am? How are you going to feed the 5,000? Those were the kinds of things that he talked about. What was he talking about? He was talking about kingdom. He was talking about the presence of God in their lives, and what are you going to do about it? He wasn't talking about fixing this or fixing that, but he was talking about walking in the river. That's really what he was talking about, walking in the stream. And I believe that God is saying the same thing to me and to you today. Get in the stream. Get in the flow of what God is doing and allow his presence to change you. Just as a closing story, I told it at the last service, so I feel led to tell you this. There was a middle-aged woman that had this heirloom necklace that had been given to her. It had been passed down from 10 generations. And you can imagine old jewelry, it was gaudy looking. It just did not fit the new type of styles. And so the last 5 or 6 generations wouldn't dare wear it out anywhere, but kept it just in a drawer. In fact, over the years, it had been lost and found several times because it fell behind the dresser and, you know, thrown back in the drawer. But this woman who had it now said, you know, my daughter is coming of age, you know, because it was the firstborn girl that would get it. And so my daughter's coming of age, she's going to be getting married, and so it's going to be time to pass this on. I wonder if this thing's even worth anything. Because, you know, it's been thrown and just unkept in a sense. So she took it to a jeweler to find out what the deal was on it. And so he's looking at it. He's got his eye thing, you know, and he's looking and going, humming, and you know, and not saying anything. So after about 10 or 15 minutes, she finally says to him, she says, look, at, you know, what's the deal with this? Because, you know, I don't even know whether it's even worth anything. And so he looks up, he says, ma'am, I don't think you realize what you have. I can't put a price on this. You see these big things that you say were glass? Those are diamonds. The settings is pure gold, some of the purest gold I've ever seen. He said, this is worth millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. I cannot put a value on this. And the woman was shocked. But she knew that the prior generation had said that this is precious. You see, I wonder whether we treat the Holy Spirit a little bit like that. We've heard from generation upon generation, all the way back 2,000 years in the New Testament, of how precious the Holy Spirit is, of how important He needs to be in our lives. And for those of us that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, He's a part of our lives. But has He become relegated to the drawer of our dresser? Or maybe just fallen behind somewhere, just kind of forgotten about? Maybe because He's out of vogue, out of style. He's you know, kind of antique in the way He thinks and the way He does things. But His words, His methods are timeless. He never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I guess my challenge to you this morning is maybe to come back to rediscovering Him. He's there. You just have to ask Him. Just quick prayer, Lord, I'm sorry. I've neglected You. I'm sorry I've forgotten about You. I'm sorry that I didn't realize how precious and how valuable You really are, that You're priceless. It's that simple. Let's stand together as we close. And for those watching, let me tell you something. Don't neglect the Holy Spirit. You need Him. He is the ultimate thing that your roots have to be connected to. And then you're established in your faith, and then you're rooted and grounded in love. That's the order that it works. Can't go the other way. We need to rely upon the Holy Spirit more than we ever have before, especially in these troubled times. Listen, this world is shifting and moving and opinions all over the place. But let me tell you something. Jesus is timeless, and He knows your future. He knows this earth's future. He's got a plan. So, Father, right now, I thank You for every person here physically in this building, those that are watching right now, those that are going to watch this recorded days and weeks and months and years from now. You're timeless. So this message, in a sense, is timeless. We need to put You first. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge You right now in our lives. Let me just ask everyone this question right now. Do you believe that you need to be more rooted in the Holy Spirit? If that's so, just put your hand up to heaven. In a sense, you're reaching up as a root, in a sense, reaching up to Jesus. Lord, You see those hands all raised through the sanctuary, and I'm sure those watching online are doing the same thing as an act of faith. Father, right now in Jesus' name, that You would minister to each and every one of them. The Lord God, as they, again, refocus upon You, that You, the Holy Spirit, would encourage them and strengthen them. Lord God, that they can fulfill the awesome destiny that they have in You. So, Lord God, we no longer ignore You. We choose to hear You. And, Lord, at times You are just a still, small voice. And sometimes over the noise of this world, it's hard to hear You. But we choose in the name of Jesus to hear from You. And, Lord God, I thank You that as we reach out in faith to You, as we love You, Lord, with an unconditional love, that You will speak, You will guide us, because You do have a plan. So bless each person here, Lord God. I pray that this week can be a week of just growing more stable in You, Lord God. The word root means to become stable. So that we just become more stable, not tossed to and fro by the opinions and winds of doctrine. But we can be strong in You. So bless each person here and those watching. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. Be encouraged in the Lord.